All right.
Boom.
I'm Phil Marion, and this is Raps Rant, hosted by myself, Megan Smith, and Blair Johnson. The show is all things Raptors in the NBA. We cover current stats, news, and feature exciting guest speakers. Today's special episode, we'll talk about the NBA trade deadline, Marc Gasol trade, and pretty much anything else, the buyout, players that are available for the Raptors roster, and pretty much anything else we want to talk about. So, welcome.
Hello.
Okay, so first off, I'm just going to highlight the NBA trade deadline, some of the transactions, some of the ones that are important.
All right.
So, I guess we can look at this. I mean, Washington acquired Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker and a 2023 second-round pick from the Bulls for Otto Porter Jr.
I like Otto Porter.
The big one here, which is the biggest threat in my opinion, the 76ers acquired Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott from the LA Clippers for Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, and Mike Muscala. A lottery-protected 2020 first-round pick, 2021 first round, 2021 second round. They gave up a lot. I'm just wrapping this up. Yeah. The Philly's going for it.
Yeah.
The Lakers did something which I don't care about. We'll pass off. The Knicks waived Enes Kanter and Wesley Matthews. Now, the big trade for Raptors fans, Marc Gasol to Toronto for JV, CJ Miles, and DeLon Wright in a 2024 second round draft pick. Dallas, mid-game, traded Harrison Barnes to the Sacramento Kings for Zach Randolph and Justin Jackson.
I can't believe Zach Randolph is still in the league.
He got waived immediately. Yeah. I don't even know if he's eligible for buyout. He might retire.
He's younger than Gasol.
Is he? He's younger? Oh,
he's literally shaped like a beer keg.
I said Phillies was the biggest one. This is the biggest threat, was Milwaukee getting Nikola Mirotic from New Orleans.
Did you hear?
And they gave up nothing.
Yeah, did you hear though? We almost had him. They were in the final stages of negotiations, and then Milwaukee swooped in and they wanted draft picks. So.
Yeah, youth. I mean, obviously that's what the one thing we're missing from the Gasol trade is youth, yeah. Right? It's such a short term thing, which is fine.
Mirotic
doesn't help us.
Perfect.
So I was lying. Zach Randolph is 37 years old and he looks like he's maybe in his mid 50s. So
okay, I am the same age as Zach Randolph. That is, and people are like, he's so washed up.
So here, and so other thing. Well, let me detail. So the Milwaukee basically, just what they gave up, they sent Thon Maker to Detroit and Jason Smith and four future second round draft picks to New Orleans. Detroit sent forward Stanley Johnson to New Orleans to complete the three team trade. So Milwaukee doesn't care.
Milwaukee made a really good trade. I thought that was.
You got to love the GM in that transaction, though. It's like, here's the deal, and then like two second round picks. Like, no. Yeah. He's like, okay, three second round picks. He's like, no, not quite. Okay, four second round picks. Like, yeah, fine, why not?
Mirotic's so young, though. He's only like 27. So yeah. It was a good move.
Very good. I mean, the second round pick, that is a lot because you know one of those would probably work out into something. Picks are gold in the NBA.
Norm,
no matter if the first
Norm
or second
Powell,
round.
Wasn't Pascal Siakam second rounder?
No, he was a first rounder.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Late was first round.
Gasol was a second rounder. Yeah, he was. Yeah. A lot of the Euros back in the day used to go second round because they just didn't fully trust the European talent to evolve.
Well, I think
quickly.
When Marc Gasol got drafted, he was overweight. Nobody thought he'd become anything. And
they were comparing him. Yeah, they said Powell was better.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so and just in terms of the buyout market that's already happened, we have two key guys. I mean, a lot of people, the Raptors now have a bit of a depleted roster. They got rid of some shooting. And when you look at it, you know, guys like a Wesley Matthews or Wayne Ellington that became available in the buyout are now gone already.
Yeah, they would
have
been.
So there's not that much.
I have no doubt that Masai went after them hard, but they want minutes, right? They're playing for contracts. So they are they're going where they're going to play.
Yes. All right. So let's go over. I mean, let's talk about Gasol.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gasol.
I love it.
I love it too. I had a lot of people, not a lot, but it was mixed. Some people initially reacting like we just traded for a 34-year-old and we gave him some assets.
By the way, he just turned 34. He was 33 like 2 weeks ago.
Even 33, that's old. I mean, Kyle Lowry's old.
Yeah. It's like, the guy can still play.
The guy was never an athlete anyways. No. Like, yeah, but has he lost a step?
Yeah.
I mean, Phil and I were watching some of the highlights. The bites that people pull on this guy at the three-point line, you're like, You could let him run by you, give him 2 or 3 second head start. You could still catch him before he gets to the rim.
That's true.
But that's the beauty is he just has the mind for the game. It's when Michael Jordan came back, he was still an effective basketball player. Right? He was fat and 40 some odd years old. And he was, he'd go head to head with good guys. Cause if you have a head for the game, you don't lose that.
I love it. I think he's going to instantly become a fan favorite here. Just even seeing his first game scrums. And you know what? Honestly, for his first game, that was very impressive. He took command of the offense from a high post position. And he just, how many touches did he have that the Raptors actually missed?
He should have had about 4 or 5 assists in that game.
He literally should have. And he had so many nice feeds.
There was one pass that was ridiculous. He did this underarm, like almost like he was bowling the ball, and just whipped it across from the post out to the 3-point line.
Totally.
And I forget who got it. It might have been Norm Powell or someone else. And they didn't shoot. I was like, you have to shoot it after a pass like that.
Well, he seems to have picked up where his teammates are very, very quickly.
Well, this is what it
just shows what he could mean to our offense.
This is what I like ultimately about it is that I don't think you guys. So if you have, say, let's give a worst case scenario. Kawhi Leonard leaves. Marcus Alls, ends up leaving somehow. You just get rid of him. Yeah. And who do you want? Who would the Raptors want to rebuild around? Is it JV? No. Is it DeLon Wright?
Oh,
no.
For sure.
Is it CJ Miles? Of course not. And you gave up a second round pick. The people that you wanted to keep, like a Siakam, Van Vliet, those guys that would keep you somewhat, like, you just want them, and maybe you can lure a bigger star to the market.
Well, that was what was so impressive to me about the trade is I literally, before the trade season started, I came up with a list of the people that I would like to move, and Masai literally moved around every single one of them. So, I just thought most impressive about Gasol was his passing. Like, I didn't realize he was such a good passer. And, I mean, guys can play through him from inside or outside. And, I think what the Raptors, what was missing for me before they acquired him is they need somebody for downhill pressure relief. And he does that. And he also settles them down. Like, we need somebody, a vet, who's going to come in there and, when we're down 20, he's going to talk him off the ledge. And, I love the signing. He checks every box for me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think sometimes you fall in love with people just because you like them. Like, JV, I just liked him.
Yeah.
But, again, we're going through the highlights watching the entirety of Gasol's game. Every piece of it is polished. Mm-hmm. JV's game was very 1 or 2 dimensional, right? There's a lot of energy. He can slash to the basket. He's active around the rim. But then once you get outside of the paint, he can guard the perimeter. He can shoot from mid range. He's got a one-on-one game that, fadeaways and, he does that one-footed fadeaway that we like to laugh at, but it's effective. Yeah. And he can pop from three, and he has no hesitation. He's got the mind for the game, so he thinks 3 seconds ahead, and you can tell because, again, one of his shots last night, he hit a three, and it's just – or I think it was a two. It was a long two, maybe. It was in his hand and out of his hand.
Yeah.
Like, there's no looking at the basket, and he's shooting 25% from three his last X amount of games, but the confidence – doesn't leave good players.
Doesn't he have the most touches from the elbow for 5 years running or something?
They run the whole offense through him in Memphis. It's pretty, it's neat to watch. And so I think, again, when you look at the assets, CJ Miles, a guy I've always disliked. He's just soft on defense. He's way too streaky on offense. And we need less of those guys.
Yeah.
So, just get rid of him. Then you get DeLon Wright, and DeLon Wright's, again, he's a tweener. I like DeLon Wright, though. He was...
Yeah, but he's, 27? I think he's peaked. I don't think he's ever going to be a starter in the NBA.
He's always going to be a depth player, right? He's just one of those guys who's a good depth player, but he's completely replaceable.
Yeah.
He's completely replaceable. And the second-round pick is the second-round pick. I mean, it is what it is. You're going for the win right now. So, again, I think the assets that they gave up, the only one that I think you'll hear people complain a little bit about is JV. And, JV's contract was coming up anyways, and... Yeah. You've just upgraded significantly at that position. So I don't think the assets were, and again, we're sitting there, you're Masai and you're looking around and you're going, well, I've got to make a deal happen here. You've had to do something.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris is gone. There's a couple of other guys gone, and we probably didn't want to give up the assets that it took to get those things. And that's okay. But you have to make a deal. What better deal was there out there?
No, it was the best case scenario for me. I thought, it was funny. Nick Nurse was talking about when JV was first traded and he went into his hotel room and it was, he said it was really, really emotional. I don't know if JV was crying, but he was saying, no more trips to Lithuania. And JV is like, no, man, you can still come. You can still come. So I think those two, because that was his guy, right? Like Nick Nurse traveled to Lithuania in the off season, spent time with JV. So, yeah. I mean,
it's sad to see him go. Exactly. It's very sad.
So I guess now what's next?
How do you see him matching up? I mean, what do you think? What do you think, like, when you look around the East? I mean, Gasol is a piece. He's not just a player on your team. You also it's a chess piece. So how, yeah, you know, we've talked a little bit about the Embiid, how he sort of matches up there. But how do you see him sort of?
Well, I thought the most telling thing from last night was where he literally just put his hands up. That one shot where DeAndre Jordan was trying to dunk it or get to the basket. And he literally, it was like he was bear hugging him. He just couldn't. It resulted in a turnover.
Well, what I think is good about Gasol is that JV would be good in that. JV was good against Embiid because he was a physical presence in the post for defending, but he couldn't do anything else. Gasol could guard Embiid. He can be that low post defensive presence, but he can also step out and let Ibaka be the guy down low to be the guy who will block shots. And he can actually be up top with the guards, switching on high pick and rolls and guard that as well. He made a killing off of that in Memphis. He would sniff it out all day long.
But
that's what makes him a better player. Obviously, well, like defensive player of the year before.
I will say,
like 5 years
Gasol's
ago,
Gasol's just a superior player across the board. He's just better. So it's a win. The trade is a win.
Yeah, I'd suggest everyone, again, it's early in the season. It doesn't mean anything, but it was interesting. You know, when we first heard about the trade, my initial thought was, you know, how does this help us against Golden State? Because at the end of the day, Golden State's got a bunch of perimeter shooters, and how is Gasol going to get out and cover them? And so the second game of the year, Memphis played Golden State, and Memphis won. It was in Memphis. And if you watch the highlights, you immediately see Gasol affecting people at the three-point line. And I was blown away by how effective he was at getting out on these guys because, you know, Golden State moves the basketball so quickly.
Yeah.
And his, again, just his mind was on display there because he's just always in the right position. He'd had a couple blocks. He blocked Klay Thompson. He like blew by Klay Thompson on a couple plays. Like it was a weird, but it's, I would suggest anyone go to YouTube and just Google the Gasol Golden State game. And he had a monster game. I forget how many points he had, but he had a really good game against them.
Yeah, I think also just his on-court leadership and unselfishness that he's been known for many years in this league.
He's a team player.
Yeah, I think that's going to be instrumental in the Raptors making a deep run.
Well, one other thing, just quickly, back to Gasol. I mean, Draymond Green himself said, you know, there's 82-game players and there's like 16-win-type players for the playoffs. He goes, Marc Gasol, he's a playoff guy.
Yeah,
that's it. True. And when the playoffs come, and we'll get into it a bit more about filling the roster, I'll be discussing it, but when it comes down to the playoffs, I don't care what anyone says, it slows down, it becomes half court, and Marc Gasol is a half court player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've never really had a very, very skilled half court player on both ends of the floor, and now we've got two. Now we've got Kawhi and we've got Gasol.
Yeah.
Is that, like, it's not. I mean, Lowry and DeRozan, no. The half court, not a chance. But
so what do we think of starting? Who's going to start? Is it going to be Ibaka?
I think Ibaka is going to have to come off. Because I think you have to keep Siakam there. Because if you put Gasol and Ibaka, that's useless. You want to keep Ibaka at the center. That's why he's had success this year.
Yeah.
I think you need to have a talk with Serge and say he's got to come off. Because I think you need to put, you know, this first game, obviously, against the Knicks, he comes off the bench. That's fine because he just got on the team. But I think you need to build some chemistry with Kyle and Kawhi at the same time.
I think it's pretty fluid. I think Nurse has a lot of staggering options, which I like. And again, Gasol's superior to Serge, so he should probably get it. It's going to come down to balancing egos, too, though. Right?
Well, the other thing, too, that Gasol brings, and I think they're going to sell him on this, is that whether he's a starter or not, because I'm not totally sold on the fact that Ibaka is not still going to be the starter. The other thing that Gasol brings is when you get your best guys off the floor, especially your facilitators, like if Lowry's not on the floor,
right,
he's really a point guard almost. I mean, he's not but you can run your offense through him, and so I think he makes your second unit significantly better than Ibaka makes your second unit.
Well, I think Ibaka's,
and you're going to get a lot more out of those guys.
Yeah, Ibaka's fit with the second unit is far less obvious, just unless Siakam joins him there, I guess.
It's a yes and no. Like, I do agree to a certain point with that, but you have to build the chemistry between those guys because at the end of the day, your best guys have got to be on the floor at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So Gasol's got to be one of them.
Hey, did you guys hear Gasol waived his $1.3 million trade kicker?
It's a big deal.
Every article I read was saying he was downright beaming at shoot-around. Like, he's thrilled to be here. So I do think he's going to do whatever the team needs him to do.
I think so,
too. To win.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to talk about filling the roster for the Raps, because now, obviously, they've got, what? They had 10 roster spots. Now they need to fill three.
Chris Boucher signed today.
Yeah, good for him.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm happy. He's literally like 90 pounds soaking wet. If they can bulk him up, then.
Well, Megan, why don't you go over who's available?
All right. So, well, not all these are for sure, but they're possible candidates. We have, okay, so what do you want to start with? Guards, forwards?
Just go. I mean, like, I think.
All right, Enes Kanter is a big one.
He's available.
And I don't know. There's something about him. He's wanted in Turkey. It's like hot fire. I love him. I want him here. Okay. I think all the ladies want Enes here. But in terms of a fit,
I think he'd be too. Great fit.
We need toughness. We need some jerks who are going to push people around and not make us soft.
So you got Enes Kanter. Wayne Ellington was listed, but I think he's gone now.
Oh, Wayne Ellington's gone for sure. Wesley Matthews is gone to.
We got Nick Stauskas.
Indiana. Oh, I feel bad. Three different teams in a week.
Miloš Teodosic.
You know who I want, but I don't think he's going to get bought out. Jeremy Lin. He would be a perfect replacement for DeLon Wright. Perfect.
That's true.
Right? So also who's available? We got Courtney Lee.
No.
No? Not available?
No. I just don't want him.
Oh.
Sorry, that was aggressive.
That's all right. Robin Lopez and Markieff Morris.
I think Robin Lopez would be hilarious because he's had this feud with the Raptor for how many
years?
That's
pretty funny.
Like, that's marketing gold right there. Who else? Okay, you said Milos. Oh, what about Washington, the Morris brother?
Markieff, I just mentioned that.
Oh, you did. I like him. I want him. And apparently he is really good buddies with Kyle Lowry. So I could see that happening.
It's weird, right? You look at the guys we lost. We lost DeLon Wright. So you've got sort of a—I don't even know what you would call him. He's a point guard, but he's a shooting guard, point guard. Yeah. You lost. You replaced the center with the center. So JV goes. You bring in Gasol. You lose CJ Miles. So you lose some 3-point shooting. But Miles wasn't playing many minutes anyways. And so you look around and you go. It was funny. I was reading an article like, oh, Toronto number one need is center depth, and I was going like, we're already having problems figuring out how, like, Gasol and Ibaka are going to play together. So you can't have a center. Exactly. Siakam can fill in if you need. But you're always going to have one of the centers on the floor. So who do you really need? I mean, we're not getting. Power forwards are useless unless they can score. There's no power forwards are going to be able to. I mean, Robin Lopez, maybe. I mean, he's a center too, right? So what do we really need? Like, what do we need? 3-point shooting? Do we need we've got Van Vliet as our backup point. Do we need another point guard? I don't know.
I would say one big for sure. So
I think it's a power forward.
I would say Enes Kanter, and then I'd say maybe Markieff for a forward position.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, a lot of people are screaming that we need shooting. And the other factor is like you said, you've got Ibaka and Gasol as center, and you've got Siakam. Who's Siakam's backup? You need someone like Kanter or Markieff Morris. Now, both of those guys, whether you have one or two of those guys, one of them, they have a series. They bring some serious attitude.
Yeah,
to
but
the
they
team.
Just signed Ben McLemore, which is
That's right, 10-day contract. Ben McLemore.
He's a wing. So there you go.
But he also sucks. I'm going to call it out there. He's not very good.
He's hit 35% of his career 3-point attempts, but he doesn't do much else. Like, he's
That's
struggled.
Fine if he can come out and hit a couple threes. Great. But he's not going to be, if we're in a tight playoff series or playoff game, he's not even going to come. He's going to be the last scenario to come off the bench. The guy's, unfortunately, he's been a bust. It's too bad because he had a ton of talent.
I wish Washington would just buy it. Like, I like Jeff Green from Washington too, and he's been having a really good year. But I don't see them buying.
Yeah, Matt McLemore's career field goal percentage is .417.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're not going to take your too many chances with that.
He's only a 10-day contract, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just wouldn't expect much out of that. This year he's played 8 minutes a game, averaging 3.9 points. You know, I mean, again, there's opportunity, but at the same point, like last year, he averaged 20 minutes a game, 7.5 points. So, you know, he was contributing a bit. And he actually had his best year. He shot 346 from three last year, which isn't great. 421 overall. He actually takes a high volume of threes considering what he does. So.
I think we should bring Bruno back.
We also, Malcolm Miller was an also a 10-day contract.
I like him. You know what? He
but he's also, again, he's like Ben McLemore. Who cares that
much? No, but I think he would have been in the NBA had he not had that injury right now.
Sure. But I just think it's a low impact. Those two signing, or two 10-day contracts is a big who cares. I really want to see Markieff Morris or Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with the shooting with the Raptors is that this
don't
this
we have was, two spots left?
We do. Well, you can fill those with a McLemore or whatever you need to. You know, if you can find someone else better, great. I just don't. In terms of the 3-point shooting, we do have it. It's been inconsistency. And at the end of the day, if we're going to get through, it's going to have to be our starters stepping up and hitting threes.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Danny Green. Kawhi, sure, he's going to have his moments, but typically he's a very good high percentage 3-point shooter. Kyle Lowry, you know my thoughts on him, but I do like when he is on, he is such a big difference maker. When we played in Philly the other night before Tobias Harris got there, doesn't matter. They're still a good team, and we wiped the floor with them because Kyle shot well.
Yeah.
And when he shoots well, it changes the team.
The team lives or dies by Kyle.
They really do. And so at the end of the day, bringing in another 3-point shooter to come off the bench and hit a couple of threes, great. It's nice every once in a while. But when it comes down to it, our starters have to do this.
Yeah.
So my main concern going forward now is bring in a power forward, bring in someone to back up Siakam that's got some toughness and some and is aggressive, has an attitude to him so for the playoffs so you can get under people's skin. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, during this last stretch, the guys got to play together.
Yeah.
Kawhi and Kyle have not played more than 5 consecutive games this season yet. Over 5. That's bad. Like they've really got to get it together and be on the same page in this last push and be like those two have to be on the same page.
If I have any concern about the team right now, it's that Kawhi I feel like he's on an island by himself. Like in terms of the offense, it just doesn't seem fluid and smooth yet. And I think that's a problem.
We need to see that change. And hopefully Gasol is an important part of that. I mean, if they've added a wrinkle to the offense, it's going to be a different offense when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
And you know, again, what we were talking about, I think, would you agree with me in saying that regardless of need, the best player available right now is Kanter?
Yes.
He's the best player available, and he does sort of fill a need on the team from that Siakam backup. And you could put him in, you could have Siakam and him on the floor at the same time. He's not a statue as much as some of the other guys in the league are at that position. So I think, you know, for me, it's always about getting the best player. You know, your depth guys in the playoffs, you're not going to be running 12 men on the floor.
Yeah.
There's going to be 3 guys that don't even, their butts don't even come off the bench.
For sure.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you're always putting, you know, bringing the best people on your team. That's why I like Kanter the best. The other one I like is Tia Dosic, because we always, again, we one thing we know about, you know, our second unit right now is that we've got Van Vliet, and he's a scorer, but he's not a facilitator. And the ball can stop moving.
He's been better lately.
He's trying harder.
Yeah.
But it's just not in his. It's not a natural thing for him to be that sort of floor general as much as some of the other guys. So if he's not on in a game, because again, if he's not scoring, he's not a great player. I mean, he's detrimental to the team when he's not scoring. So you need somebody who can bring something else. I love people that can really play make, because playmaking is every game. Yeah. You're not hot or cold on playmaking.
Yeah.
If you're a playmaker, you can pass a basketball.
But we get some of that with Gasol. I find Kawhi is becoming he had a gorgeous dish to Siakam under the basket last night. Like he's turning a corner.
No. Kawhi can absolutely. Again, it's only one game. And we all know, we've talked about this many, many times, there's going to have to be things that change. We're willing to let you know, we're willing to give everyone a second chance, but at the same point, if we just go back to the way we always play the hero ball at the end of games, we know we're not winning the championship. So, you know, they've got to start making changes, but we talked about it. You know, if you watch the highlights of the Knicks game yesterday, fourth quarter, there's a lot of movement from Kawhi. It's not just him going one-on-one to the end of the shot clock and pulling up. There's a lot of like him penetrating and kicking. There's a lot of him, you know, dishing the ball off underneath the basket. Like I loved what I was seeing from the movement there. And you could see he was going into those plays thinking like, I'm not shooting this. Like this is going to be a facilitation. So, you know, again, I don't know if that's a Gasol thing where they're coming in and saying like, guys, we got to try some different things here, but you know, one game at a time. But I was impressed, even though it wasn't a great game. It shouldn't have been that close.
The Knicks there was a lot of positives. A glorified G League team. They're awful. I was actually embarrassed. Yeah, they were good.
The Knicks are, yeah.
DeAndre gave a few of our players facials. Like, that was bad. But, hey, so why don't we move on to All-Star Draft? What'd you guys think?
The All-Star Draft?
Yeah.
It's entertaining. I like that they do it. I think it's a good format. I like the back and forth between LeBron and Giannis. I thought it was fun.
It's collusion.
Yeah.
Like LeBron James literally drafted every single free agent.
Everyone said that afterwards, but I honestly thought, I was looking at it, I was like, LeBron's just drafting winners. He's drafting champions. Yeah. Like anyone who's won a championship, he was drafting.
Yeah, Giannis had some questionable decisions there. I thought the best, though, was when he drafted Anthony Davis, and Giannis is like, isn't that tampering?
It was good.
And did you, it was not on the actual televised thing, but Chuck was like, I think Giannis should trade away his whole bench for Anthony Davis. So Chuck needs a filter, but I love it.
Well, actually, segue back. Like, so actually, that's a good point on the, I was bringing up the trade deadline stuff earlier, and I missed a couple that were actually pretty big. One is the fact that Anthony Davis didn't get traded.
Yeah.
And the second thing was Kristaps Porzingis.
Do you know, he had a list of where he wanted to go. There was four or five teams on it, and the Raptors were on it.
Glad I am so happy that he is not a Raptor and never will be. Well, and I'm so excited.
He can't even play till next year. So
it doesn't matter. That guy is he is
you
punk.
Would not trade, or you would not.
I would
sign
not
Porzingis.
Take Kristaps Porzingis, not in the slightest. Can I list off?
Crazy?
Let me list off his. The guy's been in the league, what, 3 years? Here, give me a second here.
Oh my God, he doesn't have the name Unicorn.
Since 2015, he has suffered the following injuries: torn left ACL, sore left Achilles, sore left knee, sprained left ankle, sore left groin, strained left groin,
okay,
bruised left thigh, sore right hip, sprained right ankle, sore right foot,
Blair,
inflammation to the bone and tendon,
please,
of his right knee, lower back tightness, right shoulder strain, and an unspecified right elbow issue. The guy has missed time for all of those, and he is 7'3" and weighs 180 pounds. I don't know, obviously he weighs more, but the guy is also a bit of a punk. You don't want, like, now you come in, like, you spend the time off, you rip your team, like, you're injured, you have an ACL injury, of course you're bad. Like, you're the team that is you're the guy on that team, and you're off injured, of course you're not gonna have a good season.
He also plays for the most dysfunctional front office.
Sure, but in any day, my opinion, the Knicks won that trade easily. I think they're gonna win that. They got picks out of it. They got
interested
a couple
to
good
see
players.
Him and Luka.
They
play
have
together.
Got, yeah, he's going to play with Luka 20 games a year. So that is, I think, thank God Kristaps Porzingis is not a Raptor.
All right, I did not intend to open that can of worms, but
I totally agree with that too. I think, you know, when you get somebody this early in their career, and A, he's, again, an injury risk, but B, I don't like people that demand trades. That really bothers me.
Hi, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I don't like Anthony Davis either. I would take him because he's an incredible player. Yeah. Porzingis is not Anthony Davis. You know, you can, but even still, I don't think Anthony Davis ever going to win a championship unless he's surrounded by,
right,
you know, Steph Curry, just like what Durant did.
I thought Rich Paul handled that horribly. It blew up in their face. I wasn't impressed with that. But then I was having this argument with Phil yesterday, and he's like, well, what about Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi is such a different situation. They mishandled his injury. And he didn't come out publicly and say, I want to trade.
Listen, I don't. If Kawhi Leonard, like, walked by me on the street, like, I have no love for him. I have love for him in the sense that he can help us win a championship. But, like, the guy's like, I don't know. He just, there's nothing endearing about him as a human being.
Oh,
and I agree. I think what he did to the Spurs have,
I would
have
literally
a reputation that is, like, beyond reproach. Like, no one in the world talks poorly about Pop or anyone in the Spurs organization, and he refused to play. He sabotaged their entire season. He held out on his. He didn't honor his contract.
Oh my God! Can you stop this until we sign him to a five year max deal?
Again, you're forgiven if you win. I'm fine with that. Winning, so, you know, I'll hate someone, and if they win for us, I'm okay with it. But I get this. At the end of the day, there's. I don't think there's a lot of people that love Kawhi Leonard as, like, a person.
If I saw him walking down the street, I would latch onto his leg like a 2-year-old and never let go. So, Kawhi, we love you. players.
Again, he's a basketball player. I love him, but Porzingis. Again, I don't typically respect the people that try and hold out for these contracts. I still have a sour taste from the old Vince Carter days when he mailed it in at the end of it. He was half-assing it. He wouldn't dunk anymore. Remember, he's like, oh, I don't want to dunk. And then all of a sudden, he goes to New Jersey and he's throwing down like the most ridiculous windmills and jumping over people. It's just so silly.
The emotional scars of, you know. For poor Toronto fans.
Vince Carter was one of the deepest scars. I was at the game two against the Nets in, what was it, 2006, 2007, when they played the Nets in the first round. In game two, I went to that game. I have never experienced anything so loud when Toronto was chanting, "Let's go Raptors, VC sucks." It was deafening. We were literally a woman scorned.
I also think the fact that we literally trade him for like a Gatorade and a rack of balls
didn't help. It's the worst trade in the history of any sport.
Yeah, it was awful.
What in the world was Rob Babcock thinking? I forget, was that Stephen A. who said that? Like, what in the world was Rob Babcock thinking? It's, I mean, Aaron Williams and Eric. Eric Williams and Aaron Williams. Oh my God. He refused to show up. Yeah.
Do we have any booze? I all of a sudden feel very.
The only reason people were willing to forgive Vince Carter is because he just had a. I mean, he had a good career, but he never won anything. So we don't care. Yeah. You're a loser.
I officially forgave Vince Carter because he on Orlando game two. Actually, no, it was game three. They were down 2-0 against Boston, I believe, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he was at the free throw line end of the game to bring them. They were coming back. They were down three, and he was at the line. And he would have brought them to 1 point, and they probably would have come back and won, and he missed both free throws, and he got crucified for it. And I was like, that's it. I'm satisfied. He's a playoff loser. That was it.
I will love it if they sign him. He's our free agent signing buyout market. I would die.
So we're 32 minutes in here. We're just basically around our third quarter time. Do you guys want to just finish off by talking about how we feel about the moves that the rest of the Eastern Conference made.
Let's talk about 76ers.
You know, the 76ers, we talked about like their five looked scary, and then their next five are oppositely scary.
They have zero depth. And we match up well against them. I'm not scared.
I'm terrified of Philly just because when it comes down to it, they're now a half-court team. They now... When I look at the playoffs, like last year for the Raptors, we were like, we have so much depth. We have such a good bench. It didn't matter in the slightest. At the end of the day, your starters win. I wouldn't even be surprised if Philly threw a 7-guy lineup.
Yeah, but I think you put Kawhi on Ben Simmons. We've taken him out of the equation the past two games.
Yeah, but now you have four other
guys. Now you put Gasol on Embiid.
Okay.
So who do you have? J.R. Smith. Or not J.R. Smith. What's his? J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick. So here's the thing. You've got five powerhouse offensive players. If you leave one of them, J.J. Redick is the worst, and he can scorch you from three. He scored 34 points the other night on nothing. He was like 6 of 8 from three. So it is scary how good they are. Now, I agree with you from the standpoint that we do have something against Philly, but we might be in their heads a little bit because we've played some of our best basketball.
I just think we match up well too.
Yeah, I mean, no one here is saying that the Raptors' starting five isn't a phenomenal starting five. Yeah. It's just you look around and you go, did they get better? I mean, Jimmy Butler has been there for however long, but he's, you know, we know who Jimmy Butler is. He's a phenomenal basketball player. And then you throw in this new kid, and he's just a beast. He's a man child, and he shoots threes at a high percentage, and he plays with a lot of energy. And when they have those five guys on the floor, like Ben Simmons can't shoot. We know that. He's a facilitator. That's it. But J.J. Redick is basically Klay Thompson. He's a light Klay Thompson.
Very high basketball IQ.
Yeah, and he's not. He can make his own shot. That's what makes him. He's not. He's not just a catch and shoot 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
He can make his own shot, and when he's on, and we talked about this, he's the difference maker.
Yeah, but
The rest of the guys are going to be good. If J.J. Redick gets hot from three, it's just like he's one of those guys. Like the ball's in his hands. It's like Klay Thompson. You're just like that's in.
I think their biggest problem is not going to be on the court. It's going to be locker room managing all those egos. They've had problems before bringing in Tobias Harris. Jimmy Butler is a toxic.
Typically, those issues take time to develop. I mean, if it's a short run through the playoffs, then you can manage egos. It'll be the off season, and then like what happens next year. And I think you can in a short term you can get people to buy in. But then in the long term, it's like, okay, well, how do I fit in moving forward? I think that's where they're going to run
into
issues.
They're all going to want their shots. I think Brett Brown's got
a
handful.
I've actually looked at the past two box scores for Philly with Tobias Harris in the game, and the one who's taking the least shots out of the five is Jimmy Butler. So if that guy decides to be the guy to take less shots and just play defense, look out.
I don't see Jimmy Butler being okay with that.
He seems to be. I mean, he's done it before. Minnesota, he took less shots. At the end of the day, he was mad about their effort in Minnesota. He wasn't mad about his touches. He was mad about the fact that he didn't think those guys took things seriously enough.
No, but so I also think it pissed him off because Andrew Wiggins probably has more natural talent.
He should be one of the better players in the NBA.
Yeah, no, he should. And I think
so
that
he was mad
Jimmy
about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Jimmy took less shots in Minnesota. He didn't. He wasn't.
I don't know.
Guy.
I just feel like Jimmy's past three teams it's ended badly. I wouldn't sign him.
I'm just saying that this is what I'm seeing already on two games. And if that's the case and they start to gel well, at the end of the day, Jimmy wants to win.
I'm more scared of Milwaukee.
No, Milwaukee, everyone should be. They're the number one. They are the best equipped to deal with Golden State. They're the best to
I don't know. I think the Raptors are pretty well equipped. I think we are built to kill teams like Golden State. So I
think Milwaukee's ahead of us for that.
Yeah, but I think we could take them to six.
Well, listen, I think right now Milwaukee has the best player in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis is, I love Kawhi Leonard, but Giannis is just a physical specimen that if he plays the way he's capable of playing, he's an unstoppable player. Yeah. It's like almost like Durant. He obviously doesn't shoot as the three as well, but physically he's just an incredible talent. So, you know, typically when you have the best player on the floor, you should be the best team. Mm-hmm. And I think let's not get ahead of ourselves on Golden State. It's probably the greatest team ever put together.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, the Raptors have been set up to play against teams like Golden State. We have a lot of length, just like I'm not sure how many times they've played this year, but Milwaukee gives Golden State fits because they have so much length to cover the 3-point line, and they just stand out there. They're like, "Oh, fine, go in the lane, like, go score 2 points. What do we care?" And the Raptors are built, you know, similarly to Milwaukee, which is why it's going to be such a good matchup. But I think where Milwaukee's trumping us right now is that they move the ball a little bit better when the game gets into the crunch time.
Well, and they hit their shots.
And they hit their threes. Again, the Raptors, from a team perspective, are the bottom third or bottom fourth of the league in three-point percentage.
Yeah.
If that, again, and our guys aren't pure shooters, it doesn't mean we can't get hot. So we're going to rely a lot on playing really, really great defense.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we have to be, it's got to be one of those spells where Kyle Lowry's on is good Kyle Lowry, and we need it to be, it doesn't have to be every series, because there's probably series we can get away with where he doesn't need to be the best. If the matchup's not there, it just can't be against Milwaukee.
Well, if the playoffs started tomorrow, then Philly and Boston would have to play, I think.
That would be great to see that.
Yeah, I would love to
battle.
See them go at it. It just, I don't know that the Pacers are going to keep their third spot.
Well, I mean, they're playing pretty well.
Stranger
like, let's hope
things,
they do.
Right? You saw Boston last year. They lost their main guys and boom.
No, I mean, Indiana has a pretty deep team. And some of the guys, if they step up, then they're still going to be a challenge. Like, there's one team that, you know, over a 7-game series, you wouldn't be worried about
them.
Well,
they just got Wesley Matthews, too. They're all obviously
Wesley Matthews has never been the same since Portland.
Yeah, but they're
not
giving up.
No, absolutely not.
What do you guys think happened with Boston? Because Boston, from what I'm hearing, Boston, I mean, this was their only chance to get Anthony Davis was at the trade deadline, because he's not going to sign with them next year, so there's no point in trading for him.
I still think they go after him and try to convince him.
What are you talking about? Boston for Davis?
Yeah.
They couldn't trade for him now.
Oh, that's right. They needed to wait till Kyrie was... Okay, so why didn't they make a move? Because they have so many assets. Why aren't they making a move?
They're waiting for AD, I think. Yeah, they have their sights set on him, and they're not deterred by the fact that he hasn't said they're going to resign with
him. So you think they're going to let Kyrie walk, or they're going to try and sign Kyrie as well?
I think they're going to try and sign Kyrie and potentially trade Tatum, Rozier. Who else do they have? Jaylen Brown. I mean, they have so many first-round picks, too.
Did we see did Milwaukee get better at all?
Yes.
Oh, Milwaukee
absolutely,
with Mirotic?
Yeah.
Well, it was huge.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's
why.
They
barely gave anything up, too.
Barely gave anything up. And now you've got Chris Middleton, Bledsoe, Mirotic on the perimeter, and Giannis being able to drive and kick.
It's all
what
very
do you do?
Stressful. Yeah.
What do you do? That's why they're number one. They're the team to beat in the East.
Yeah, but we're only down a game. They got kicked last night, but Giannis was out.
He was not playing. I got excited. I sent a message out being like, they lost to Orlando. And it was like, Giannis
didn't
play.
Boston was the story last night. They were down, what, 27? Up 28. Come back. But then Marcus Morris's interview after was so telling. He's like, we haven't been having fun for a long time. Like, we got to get this.
You're not bad enough to be that die, like that negative. It's the negativity coming out of Boston is so strange. Like, we got to blow this up. We're like a bottom feeding team. I'm like, guys, you're not that bad.
I think they probably have the best coach in one of the top three coaches in the league. They have more talent than they know what to do with. Like, it's, I don't know why they can't get
it together. Like the feeling sorry for yourself stuff. They're not bad enough to be talking like this. Like, no. I mean, they beat the Raptors twice. Like, they've had some big wins. Like, get over yourselves. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know what's going on there.
I think it's
but
just they all want their shots. They're all now playing for individual, for themselves instead of as a team. And
so I think this is the big thing to finish the year off. And as you know, Milwaukee's, we've had a tough time with Milwaukee. They've obviously gotten better with the huge pickup that they made. And that number one seed becomes so critical.
Yeah.
Because the Raptors at home, and again, all teams in the NBA are significantly better at home than they are on the road. And we need to start seeing Lowry and Leonard playing back to backs. I mean, at what point do you go like, guys, like you get into that Eastern Conference final, your chances are 70-30 if you're playing at home, and they're 30-70 if you're on the road. I mean, it's probably even more so swayed. So you're talking about such a massive importance. Why are you, who cares if he gets hurt? At this point, like, are you going for it or are you not going for it? I mean, he seems to say he's going for it, Masai, but like, why aren't you?
I think Kawhi has shown us that he plays better with a few days rest, which I think bodes well for the playoffs. Yeah, but you
it
know what?
I don't, you gotta.
Hold on. Which bodes well for the playoffs because you have two or three days in between. I hear you, but I just, I
the, the most important thing.
Treat him with kid gloves, guys. The if most, he goes down, you're both going to cry.
I'm not going to cry.
Grown men will cry.
This is my thought on resting players. If someone gets injured, they get injured. At the end of the day, you have to realize that this game is for entertainment value. It's like basically, people were like, oh, the Pelicans are going to sit Anthony Davis. If I was a Pelicans fan that bought season tickets, I would be livid if they sat Anthony Davis.
Fair enough. Next year, once he re-signs with us, I will be fine playing him every game. I do not believe in resting. But I think right now we need to show Kawhi that we will do whatever it takes to keep him.
You've got a point there.
Thank you.
Well, this resting thing, fine. I understand. Okay, so you're like, oh, this is a great situation for you because we're willing to rest you. We have one chance to win the NBA championship. We make it to the playoffs. We finish one game behind Milwaukee. How long are you going to self-doubt yourself? And you make it to the Eastern Conference Final. You go, imagine we hadn't, you know, a couple of those games hadn't rested Kawhi Leonard.
I really don't think him sitting out, though, is going to cost us.
But how so? We've lost games. We've definitely lost games because he wasn't playing in them.
Yeah, but Kawhi is a different. Like, we've all seen
it. I'm just saying. So say he doesn't sign with us. We have one year with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, but
we don't. We don't win the first seed because we lose one extra game because he sits it out, and now we make it. We make it to game seven against, and we lose in Milwaukee. And I go, imagine that game was in Toronto, our one chance ever. And then he does, and he leaves in the offseason. We go, we gave it up because we wanted him to sit a couple. It actually happened with the Jays a couple of years ago. They rested Price the last game of the season, and who'd they put in? They put in. We were trying to get the win for the 20th win for.
No, it was innings.
Burley, the 200 innings for Burley, and in the first inning he gets lit up, and then they pulled him. Like if you're gonna play to lose, and the Jays had an opportunity to get the first to get the first seed, and they ended up not getting it, and we had to play on the road against Kansas City, and so that was a devastating, you know, one game just giving it up, and it made no sense, and it always is eaten at me, and I'll never get over it, right? It was a huge difference maker. So if that happens with our 1 year of the best opportunity of winning the NBA championship, and we're so if we don't win the first seed, it's going to be by a game or two.
Okay, but Blair, you could look at it like this. If they truly thought he was going to leave, and they did not believe they had a good chance in re-signing him, would they be resting him like this? Probably not. So I think they know in the front office, Nick Nurse, that if we show him that we are willing to do what he wants, go at his pace, then he's more likely to sign. So I don't think anyone in our head office is a dummy. I think there's strategy behind it all. And
yeah. I just hope it's not wrong. I just hope from the standpoint, this is the year you go for it. And like reiterating what Blair said, if you have all of a sudden you have a game seven on the road and it's a result of load management, it's going to be really disappointing.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Okay.
We will pick. Yeah. Sorry. We're going to have to wait and see.
We all had our heads hanging and shit. Yeah.
He's not leaving.
But in any event.
All right. We made it four quarters, 45 minutes in.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so until next time, this is Phil and Marion.
Go Raptors.
Megan Smith and Blair Johnson signing off.
Well.
Bye.